reason why there's this whole stigma around mental health. And the thing is, it's not really something that we can see. And I think that's where the big problem is, because when someone comes in and they're saying, well, you know, I feel this way, or I have depression, or I have these thoughts, it's not something that we can tangibly be able to see so that we can really feel that you are really hurting or you are really going through something. And it baffles doctors and nurses as well. And we don't really know what to do with it, because it's all based on what you're telling us. Whereas pain, we can see it. We can, you know, do a radiography picture of it. We can diagnose you. We can see it on your vital signs. But mental health is something that it's hard to see. And I think that's part of the problem with our doctors, especially in the youth, because, you know, there's this whole stigma around our youth these days, too. They're weak and, you know, they're not as strong as us and they're lazy. And, you know, there's all of these things you hear about our youth nowadays, and they're just making it up and, you know, pat yourself on the back and feel better. But they're really hurting and they're really going through things, and nobody is willing to acknowledge them.
So, okay, you guys, we're going to make this a two-part episode because Uber Conference decided to store a hissy fit. And literally, Brock Scheller from The Line, thank you very much. And then Uber Conference wouldn't let me back in to have this incredibly important conversation. But for those of you who will hear the top of this call in part one, I was talking about, and no, I did not plan this, I was talking about that the two of the Parkland students who survived the Parkland shooting in Florida committed suicide. I know one of them was named Sydney Altucher, I think, and then the other one, we don't know yet because it was breaking news before I got on this recording with Shella. So Shella's doing great things for the youth, and my ex-VA found Shella on Instagram, so that's how Shella and I got connected. So what are you exactly doing for the youth? How are you empowering the youth? And Shella, one, how do you want the Ask Win community to help you? Because I know one person can't do it alone.
Yeah, well, you know, I started my nonprofit organization. It's called Vinny Girl, Inc. And it's just all to empower the youth because, like we're discussing, they don't really have a lot of outlets. Some of them don't have the resources to even go after those outlets if they could. And so we just have a mentoring program where we're able to, like we have a summer camp. And my idea was, you know, after summer camp is over, we kind of just ditch these kids on the side of the road. They're done, you know, que sera, sera. But for us, after summer camp is over, we have a mentoring program where we continue to Skype with them weekly. We have conversations with them to keep them accountable. We're doing scholarships. We're pouring into these youth all throughout the year, whether they need assistance with their work, whether they need mental health resources, whether it's, you know, love life, or, I mean, it's just basically diving into everything that these girls go through. And a lot of them don't have any positive role models to look up to. So what we do is try to be those role models, because we believe it's very hard to be something that you have not seen. And so that's basically what we aim to do, whether it's scholarship giveaways, whether we send girls to the prom, whether we are helping them to battle their depression, you know, head on, whether it's they need help with their school work, or, you know, plans, how to set a plan in motion, setting goals. I mean, we just have a plethora of things that we do. We try to empower them to not only, you know, believe in their education, but in themselves. You know, what does it look like to own your own business? What does it look like to be bigger than what the school system is telling you you could be? You know, we're just giving them the free licensing to be whoever they want to be.
And so I know you're in California.
Yes.
And so how can we, the community, I have international listeners, I have U.S. listeners, how can we help you in Paladins? I mean, I want to team up with you and give you a hug, basically, for in Paladins. And so how can you and I work together virtually, or how could someone work with you guys? Because I've decided it takes a village to raise me.
Oh,
definitely. And I am not a youth anymore. I'm a 30-something, almost 31. But I still have a disability, and disabilities cause their own challenges. So how could my team work with you in this amazing project?
Well, we're always looking for volunteers. We love to, you know, we always need outreach for our youth when we do the mentoring online. So we're looking for volunteers for that. We have a retreat coming up actually in July. It's kind of like a summer camp retreat where we're taking the girls to an estate and they're going to, you know, just have this great long weekend where they're just going to, you know, just have this great tempered life and kind of get away from their realities. So we're looking for sponsors and vendors for that event. We have, we always accept donations. We have a GoFundMe, which is under Vinny Girl Inc. on GoFundMe. You can go to our Instagram, which is Vinny Girl Inc. It's V like Victor, E-N-N-E-Y, Girl Inc. You can send in your donations, or you can just send in your support or let us know how you would like to help. VinnyGirlInc@yahoo.com. Or we also accept information there. And any way that anyone is led to help would be wonderful. I mean, we're always putting together gift bags for our girls, and we're always, you know, sending them resources and tools and whatever it is they need. We're going to have a prom initiative coming up as well. So we're going to send some girls to the prom and take care of their dresses and just, you know, give them some encouragement. So, yeah, any way that anyone can help, whether it's financially, whether it's wanting to be a mentor, please reach out to us. We would love to have you.
Well, sign me up to be a virtual mentor. Hint, hint.
Oh, I would love that. That would be so cool.
I would love that. I would love to show these youth that, yes, I have a disability, but yes, I started this podcast. Yes, I'm a published author. Hint, hint. And you can achieve your dreams. So there we go. That's how Shella and I are going to work together. She's going to sign me up as a virtual mentor, and I can help her with the kids, because I think empowering the next generation is the next best thing. I mean, I got empowered by, I went to a private school where I work at now, and all my friends were able to body. I didn't even know what a special ed class was, you guys, until high school, because I wasn't even told I had cerebral palsy until I was in seventh grade by my mom, of course, and then I didn't even get the official diagnosis until last July. Yeah.
Wow.
I knew I had CP. I knew I had CP from age 6 up, but I didn't even know my official cerebral palsy name, which is ataxia spastic cerebral palsy. Yes, it's a mouthful for me to say, but and so for years I kept calling it the mixed bag of cerebral palsy until it stared me in the face on a piece of paper, and I'm like, okay, this is actually cerebral palsy, which helped my heart a little bit, helps solve the puzzle piece there. But because into adulthood, there was no, well, I shouldn't say that. There, I got support from my friends and family, but there was no support groups for cerebral palsy. There was support groups for the families, but there wasn't necessarily support, and there's still not. There is still not support groups for the adults now dealing with cerebral palsy.
That's very true. Very true.
And so I'm like, how the hell am I going to empower the next generation to respect the disabled, just like mm-hmm. my friends did? And I'm on a mission in 2019 to be the voice for the voiceless and empowering the youth. And I think we'll make a great combination because
oh,
I want
my gosh.
These girls
powerful.
To see that you can accomplish your dreams no matter what is your setback.
No matter where you come from, what your setback is, all it takes is the determination. It doesn't matter
and
what happens in your life.
And
you are a shining example of that.
Well, thank you. But your girls may say, oh, I may have depression, and
mm-hmm.
then we can start talking about mental health, and then we
yes.
can move on from there as your nurse's background. Because if people have depression and they don't accept their depression, it
mm-hmm.
causes a huge host of issues.
Absolutely. And, you know, the main thing is not so much that our youth are not accepting their diagnosis or that they have this issue going on. It's the idea that when they come and tell people, hey, I think I'm a little depressed, or, you know, maybe I'm dealing with something that's bigger than me, they're mostly pushed away and told to, you know, you're going to be okay. It's just situational. It'll be better. You'll get over it. And no one's taking them seriously at their word. When our youth come to us, you know, it's one thing to be battling something on your own, but this is the number one cry for help. And most people have it, whether they're going to commit suicide or what the odds are that are against them. Most people, if they're coming to you telling you, hey, I think I want to kill myself, or hey, you know, I'm having these thoughts, that is a cry for help. We cannot take that lightly. We have to be serious about that, and we have to get them the help that they need. It's not our job to question if it's real, or to question, you know, why would they tell me this, or, you know, how do I come into play? None of that's our job. Our job is to save their life, because if they trusted you with this fragile information, you have to be the person to take it to the next level to get them some help. And that's where we're falling out. No one's taking them seriously. Well, they look fine. They're smiling. Most people that commit suicide, you'll hear friends and family say stuff like, they were just smiling. They were planning a trip. I just talked to them. They were fine. And next thing you know, they're dead somewhere because no one took them seriously. So we have to advocate
yes.
for our youth and believe them when they say they're having a problem.
Yes. And you have to believe the disabled when
absolutely.
We say we're having a problem too.
Yes.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I got into a sticky situation from 2006 to 2009. I'll say this with love, I was forced into a bad educational situation where I was the teacher and my boss was emotionally abusing me, and
mm-hmm.
she was narcissistic and played the sweet person to my biological mom and showed her true colors to me. And then my dad, God bless my dad, he noticed that I was depressed, and
yeah.
I kept saying, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. And when I finally lost my job and then lost my biological mom to meningitis / slow leaking brain
wow.
aneurysm, it finally dawned on me that I was depressed because of my work situation. And God bless my dad for pulling me out of there. And so
wow.
that is because he noticed it, and my
wow.
biological mom didn't notice it because she brought my abuser into this house, and my abuser was, you're saying, wow, like, I'm saying, wow, I'm surprised that nothing seriously happened to me. now that I think about it, because it's like when Bueza comes with purple grafted on to a individual who was paying her at the time. Thank you very much. My mom was paying her to be my aide. And like she flipped around on me when my mom or dad wasn't around and she didn't support me. She didn't do anything. And then we were at an event and I know what it was. We were at adult art class and she was my aide. And we go down to lunch at this adult art class and she goes, "You know, I'm switching programs this year," and this was in 2008. "You know, I'm switching programs in May." And I opened my big mouth thinking that the answer was going to be totally different. I said, "Well, who are you taking with you as your teacher today," knowing that she was going to teach preschool. And she names a totally different teacher that I knew, that I worked with, one of my colleagues. And I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go. Here we go." So that's how I found out I lost my job.
Wow.
And as I said, God bless my dad for pulling me out.
Yeah.
Because,
he's the total hero.
He's the one hero because my mom didn't see it. My mom would drop me off every day at work at my volunteer job. And she thought that a friend of mine who actually got me the job, we're still friends to this day, had my back. But when I abuse her, flips, treats her colleagues like S-H-I-T, there's nothing we could do. There's nothing we could do. My friend was feeling blunt too. And I'm like, yeah. And so my mom didn't say it, but my dad did. And he goes, "Wendy, you need to get out of there quick." He almost grabbed me by the hand one day and pulled me out.
Good for him.
"She's not coming back because this is not win." And so it took me a good year to understand that this job was causing depression. So if we could tell our youth that sometimes people don't support them, but they're going to have to stand their ground and say, "Look, this is what they're going to have to sound like a broken record and say again, over and over again, this is what I'm going to. Please support me or get the next, get their aunties to support them, get their dads to support them, get everyone else to support them." If they say to the person, like their mom, "I am going through this," and their mom just brushes it off.
Then and that is when they can't give up. They have to get the right person to help them. Someone will help them.
Yeah.
And that happens so often, Wan. I'm so glad you brought that point up because, you know, most of our parents nowadays, they're preoccupied. And I don't think it's, you know, on purpose. They're just so preoccupied with keeping the family afloat that they might not notice what their children are dealing with secretly or privately. So thank God your dad was someone who saw you and heard you and, you know, decided to get you some help. But this is where the problem is a lot of days now, because a lot of our parents are not seeing it. They don't catch it. They feel like, "Oh, you're just being a teen," or, "Oh, you know, this is just how you are. You're so oversensitive." And it's not. It's really something that they're dealing with. And no one's there to advocate for them. And a lot of the times, these kids are not going to report it to anyone else because they feel, "Well, I told, you know, mom didn't help. So I guess no one cares about me. Let me just end my life." And it's
yeah,
so
no.
tragic.
And it's so tragic. It's so incredibly tragic. And so you guys have got to stick up for yourselves. If I can't help you, Shella can probably help you with her nurse's background. I can help you from the disability background. I can tap into my network, including Shella now. And so I can say, let's get this person some help. But mental disabilities are huge in this country. They are huge. And so
Oh, yeah.
what is the first step we should do if we see a colleague depressed, in my case, or what's the first step that I can do to help people deal with mental health issues?
Really, the first step is like such an obvious one, and people don't really acknowledge it because they think you have to be superhuman or, go through this grand gesture. And it's not. You just need to first listen to the person. The first step is listening and acknowledging that this person is hurting. No matter if you don't see it or you feel that it's not real, you need to acknowledge that person. That is the first step. Talk to the person, see where their mind is, because that's how you can assess the urgency of what they're dealing with. You sit down, and they even teach us this as nurses. You sit down with someone if they're depressed or they're going through something, and you listen. You just want to listen. You don't want to say much. Just let them share their truth. And then when you have heard what they had to say, that's when you ask, okay, well, what is your plan? Are you thinking of killing yourself? Or, where are we in this process? And they'll generally give you that information, and that's how you know how to proceed. You need to ask them if they have a plan. If they do, you want to get them help immediately. If they don't, you still want to be fostering them and nurturing them to make sure that they know that if no one else cares about them, that you do. That is always the first step. You need to love on these people because they feel that no one does.
Yeah, they feel that no one does. And I will say this with love, but I will say this in a stern attitude. I wish, looking back on it, my mom saw what was going on. Thank you very much. Not my dad. And even though I love my dad, I wish
Of course.
both parents saw what was going on. My mom just pushes under the rug, and it's like, Mom, you can't do that. You
No.
can't do that, pushing under the rug. And when she passed away, I said, "FUCK, I'm going back to journalism school so I can be a strong, good disabled advocate and talk to people and pull things out like a good journalist does, pull things out of people. Then, after the interview, try and help them if they need help."
You know, when I would ask you, because that is such a real topic, what you just discussed. When you feel that someone that was close to you, that you, especially a parent, you trusted this person to protect you, and they failed you in a sense. How do you navigate that, those feelings, and how do you get over that? Like, I would like to ask you, if you could speak to those people, because there are some of us, and it might not have been a mental thing, it might not have been a disability, but there's some way that we felt like we were failed by someone. Maybe you were molested or something, and no one reached out to you to help you when you reached out to them. How did you take that and heal with that? Even seeing your mom, in her grave, how did you get over that? What did
Well,
it take?
I actually took my, and this is just for me. This may not work for you guys. And I actually took my grief because, and this is the first time I've admitted this, I was not only grieving the loss of my mom, but I was also grieving the loss of my job and my mom also not seeing the signs that my job was going horrible. And mm-hmm. so I took my grief and pawned it all into my book. And that's mm-hmm. what started. I took my grief, 3 senses of grief, and pawned it all onto the page.
Me too. Me too. It's a yep. great therapeutic tool.
Great so therapeutic tool. And it's essentially free. So if you guys are struggling out there, and you can just take a journal and say, do it old style, millennials. Say, dear diary, yeah. this is how I'm feeling. Yeah. And then show it to a person that you trust, and then do it this way, or do a podcast mm-hmm. by yourself, or actually that's public, maybe that won't work for you, but do it old, so get it down on paper. So mm-hmm. that's going to be my next segue. Why did you write your book?
Well, for me, My first book, my best-selling book, Little Girl, Don't Get Lost in This World, which is a book for our youth and just kind of seeing where our youth are these days and dealing with everything that, you know, I have gone through in my life. And, you know, I was a teen mother and I grew up in an at-risk environment. So I wanted to have something that was for my daughter initially. Like, if anything happened to me, I wanted her to have that. Well, it turned into something so much bigger because the book, we talk about depression, we talk about, you know, love, we talk about setting goals, we talk about sex, we talk about, I mean, just everything that girls are going to go through. And yeah. I started going out to book signings and, you know, talking to some of these girls, and I realized there was more that needed to be done. So I wrote the book for my daughter, and then it became something for everyone. And then the book actually is how we birthed it. Vinny Girl Inc., because it was more that needed to be done. And these girls were, you know, coming to me and telling me how they had no one and they needed more. And I wanted to help. That was always my goal. So the book just turned into this powerful movement to help these young women. But it started with me because, like we were just discussing, that's why I brought up the forgiveness. Like, I was molested when I was young. I went to my mother, you know, who was someone who was supposed to protect me and who would have my back. And she totally dropped the ball. So that was when I had to become my own hero to save myself. And, you know, just yeah. being a teen mom that shortly thereafter, I mean, my husband and I, my daughter's father, we're married to this day, you know, 17 years later. But that is really not the norm when you look at teen pregnancy and, you know, how all of these things can spiral out of control. Yeah. I dropped out of school and, you know, I pulled myself back up. I became a nurse. I became a speaker. Now I've, you know, traveled around and spoke to all these different teens and crowds. And, you know, I really fought hard to come back from something that has crippled so many people. And so many people didn't make it through the things that I have. And so I'm very fortunate. But now it's my goal, because when you look at society now, you see how much things have changed just from, you know, 15 years ago to today. Girls are sexier, they're living faster, you know, they're growing up so much faster than they need to, and that leads to all sorts of troubles that they're going to face. So I wanted to, you know, put my book out there as a guide to help them, because so many of them don't have anyone to, you know, give them a positive light on, you know, how to be ladylike, or, you know, how to survive these struggles, or what happens if you don't have a father figure or a mother figure. So the book just was therapeutic for me as I was writing it, and it was supposed to be for my daughter, but then it turned into something that was bigger than I had ever hoped it would be. And it became a bestseller, and it has helped so many young women, and that is, I'm so proud of it. Every girl that's in Vinny Girl Inc., our nonprofit, they always get a copy of that, you know, and we just try to make sure that they have these tools any way we can.
Now, okay, here's idea, and I'm going to plant mm-hmm. this idea in your head, and mm-hmm. now it's going to be an extension of your Vinny Girl Inc. out of mm-hmm. California. Would you ever consider doing a podcast? And now I'm planting that idea in your head, because empowering the youth is something I want to help you with. And I think the more we empower the youth via podcast based off of Vinny Girl Inc., that would be a wonderful thing.
I think that would be a wonderful idea. I think that would be a great way to reach more girls. I mean, I'm here in LA, basically. And so I think that would be an excellent idea in order to reach girls further. It just extends our reach. And it is something that I've toyed around with and that a few people have actually approached me about doing. And I think I might actually be ready to go for that. I mean, you're so inspiring.
Well, today's your lucky day. I can actually help you if you want to set that, that up, because I have learned over the years that doing a podcast, I mean, you didn't even know me from a hole in the wall, and here we are talking. So maybe offline we can work that out, you guys, because Vinny Girl Inc. now needs a podcast to empower the next generation. And Shella's laughing at me because, Shella, you're doing such a great job, but I think the podcast could be even bigger because we need to empower the youth, help them with mental health, my God, believe in them, and just empower the youth.
I agree completely. I think it would be a beautiful, beautiful thing to come together. I really think we could help a lot of girls. And young men.
Oh, yes, we can. Oh yes, we can. And we could either, we could even help girls internationally too, because I am really into this podcast, and it's going, it's another podcast, and it's all about women's issues. You know, the women's issues, the birds and the bees, basically. And it's called The Flowdown out of Miami. And I'm having those guys on my podcast to talk about the birds and the bees. And also, and they were saying on their podcast that part of women's empowerment is not having to deal with the birds and bees. And they were saying on their podcast, they interviewed now an Oscar winner in a movie who did a movie about the birds and bees appearance. And she was saying how she got this tampon machine into a third world country, and girls were so excited to see the tampons and actually use tampons because that's so cool. And so that's why I'm saying a podcast could, Vinny Girl's podcast, now eventually we can get to that in a minute, but we can entertain the idea of crossing the borders through a podcast and empowering more girls.
That's a great idea.
And guys, too, because guys need help, too. And it's not, it's, this mental health issue is not only a women's issue, it's a guy's issue, too. So, yeah, it's just so sad that mental health is not made to, mental health and is a taboo to talk about, and I want to be the voice for the voiceless, and I want to break those stigmas.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job, can I just say.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And
you are
Shella, as we wrap this interview up, and then I know you have questions for me, so I'll let you ask those questions, but as we wrap this interview up, who would you like to be educated by, inside or outside your field? You can pick anyone, dead or alive, and who would you like to be educated by?
Oh, that's a tough one. But, you know, like, I think I would probably have to go with Michelle Obama. I just love her. I think she's such a dynamic woman. She's intelligent. She's just everything. Like, I would love to just sit down and talk to her and pick her brain.
Talk about Goose and Plowman. Jeez. She at one point had all these kids eating their veggies, and that always a big thing. And she's one of my dream guests on my dream bucket list of guests. She's one of
them. Of course.
What I want to talk to her about is youth empowerment and how she did it all and how she kept Sasha and Malia so grounded and so stable. I would love to pick a brain about that, because I'm like, talk about the craziness of youth and empowerment being in the spotlight for so many years. Your childhood gets taken away, but one of the smartest things I think she did is moved her mom into the White House so they could at least have a sense of grounding with grandma in the White House.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I completely agree with that. Yeah. It was a great decision. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which the next president, I won't get political, but he's certainly not doing anything for the youth or the disabled. He's killing me softly here.
Me too.
And so the first lady now says, and quote unquote, says that she has this anti-bullying campaign, and it's like, be kind, be nice, and I don't know what the other one is. And I have yet to see her work in action. I'm like, did you just make this campaign up just so you can have a campaign?
It feels a little disingenuous.
I seriously think she did that, Shella. I seriously think she reached into the sky and picked the campaign to get behind. And she just said, this is my campaign. I will get behind it and not do anything about it. Do something, people.
I think so, too. And I think it's got to start at home. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's got to start at home. And it's like, do something, people. If you're going down to the world on international stages that your campaign is anti-bullying, I want to see that.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, you too. We can have our conversation about politics and empowering these youth. It's not happening with this president, you guys. No way.
No way, no out. Unfortunately. Yeah, no.
Unfortunately.
What about you, Wynn?
Me?
Who would you say is your biggest inspiration? Who would you like to sit down with?
As I said, I would love to sit down with Michelle Obama. And that would just be a real feather in my cap. Her husband did one podcast interview while he was in office. One. And of course, the dang thing blew up. And the podcaster still has it on his feed. Go back and you guys will figure out what this term means as soon as I said, go back and find Barack Obama's interview on WTF podcast by Mark Maron. And he still has it on his feed, and he did a fantastic job. I listened to that interview, and so I want Michelle Obama to come on my podcast, and people know that, and so if I can get Michelle Obama on my podcast, that would be a feather in my cap, and yeah.
Well, I believe she'll come on. It will happen.
Well, I put it out to the universe. It's going to happen eventually. I just need to finish up my journalism degree, get my ducks in a row. And I think in the next couple of years, you guys, Michelle Obama will be knocking on my podcast on, and that would be a real feather in my cap, and to get my dream interviewee on. So if anyone who's listening is close to Michelle Obama and knows how to get a hold of her, yes, and maybe we could even do a special MC event with you, Shella, to get Michelle Obama to you, because Michelle Obama's one to empower the youth. So do you have any other questions for me?
You know, I just really, you covered so much with me, and that you answered a lot of my questions, but I did want to ask you, when you felt down, I mean, of course, we've all had these periods in our life, but when you felt down, like, besides writing, who did you lean on when you felt like you had no one? Like, what did you do when you just felt like you weren't going to make it through the day? What kept you going?
When I, are you talking about when I lost my job or when I lost my mom?
Just in general, like when you think back to the hardest times of my life, this is when I was just down and out. I didn't know how I made it through. What did you do? Who inspired you?
My, believe it or not, and my dad inspired me to get back up on my feet, because that's what my mom had asthma. She actually lost her dad to asthma in the 60s. So when my grandfather died of asthma, she got asthma. They thought I had asthma at one point. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they still do. And so, yes, I've been diagnosed slightly with asthma, but that's because of my genes. But I knew that my mom didn't want me to wallow in self-pity. So, know what I did? I, this was 10 days after she died. I knew, well, I didn't know I was losing my job, but I was planning my escape to go find a different job. I didn't know that I was going to lose my job in the middle of it. So I asked my next door neighbor at the time, who happened to be the boss that hired me at my new job that I've had solidly for 8 years now. And so I asked my boss, I said, do you have any job openings on, do you have any job openings? And I'm sitting on my bike, quite frankly, I was sitting. And he goes, "When you emailed us, but we responded to your email, but you never emailed us back." So then when I lost my mom, I was pushed to get, I lost my job, and then I lost my mom, and then the universe pushed me to get another job. And so 10 days after my mom died, I went to apply for a job, and ever since then, I've been holding a part-time job at a private school, Aspen Country Day, out here in Colorado, and we do a good job empowering the youth. Thank you very much. Wow. We, even though we can't diagnose mental disabilities as teachers, we get them involved in activities outdoors. We get them involved in the all-school play. We get them involved in the art classes. We get them involved on Girls on the Run, which is a national program nationally. And so we
My daughter was in that program.
Them. Yeah. Yeah, I have a friend who's actually running a race. Her mom is my aide, and so she said, "When have you ever heard about Girls on the Run?" My daughter was autism, thank you very much, and now in Girls on the Run, and I said, "Heck yes," because it's a national program, and Country Day, where I work, does participate in Going on the Run. And so we do the best job that we can as teachers of empowering the youth. And I'm happy to say that.
So cool.
That's very cool. And Goals on the Run, talking about empowering the youth, Goals on the Run accepts anyone with a disability. I didn't realize that until I didn't realize that until my friend told me that, who's actually my aide, whose daughter is now in Goals on the Run with her school. And I didn't realize that Goals on the Run accepts people with physical and mental disabilities. So that's a good thing for you guys. If you guys want to empower the youth, just be a mentor for either Shella's program or Girls on the Run. Or there's several ways to empower the youth. And the list goes on and on and on. But Shella, where can people find you guys? Because I want you guys to have the spotlight now.
So you can find us on Instagram. We are at Vinny, V like Victor, E-N-N-E-Y, Girl Inc. On Instagram. We're also on Facebook. You can call our number for more information. It's 562-380-1300. And you can email us at VinnyGirlInc@yahoo.com.
And then you, as we said, she's always looking for ambassadors to the program. She's always looking for help, which I'm going to help her with the extended arm, which you guys now know about. Vinny Girl Inc. is now going to have a podcast so we can reach more youth. Reach more, and Charlotte's laughing at me. You won't be laughing at me once we start the podcast. I mean,
nope, I'm gonna be praising you.
We need to, I know you are, because we need to reach more youth and we need to break the stigma of mental health. I mean, when I did my editorial homework assignment, I thought, oh, this is gonna be interesting and fun. No, it turned out it was sad and heartbreaking. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, why did I do this? And so, talking to a nurse, you, Shella, you agree with me that we need to stop the stigma of mental health. And my thoughts and prayers go out to now the victims of suicide of the Parkland shooting. I mean, Sydney was only 19, and I don't know the other girl, how old the other student was, but it's monkey see, monkey do thing, and so we need to make mental health and empowering the youth a huge issue, and that's going to be a huge issue in my life, and empowering people with disabilities, too, is a huge issue, but it starts with the able-bodied youth. And then we'll get to the disabled, because the able-bodied youth, after they meet me, they might go home to their moms and dads and say, you might want to test me for it. Well, I hope you might want to take me to the doctors and test me for this.
Yeah.
And
so
let's start saving people's lives here, people, because this is... It just is heartbreaking to me as a teacher. It just is heartbreaking. And let's just start empowering the youth and getting them to live their dreams and doing it all style, dear diary, this is how I feel. And then,
It is our responsibility, people. We have to help our youth. We have to encourage them. We have to support them. don't think about how they're going to feel or that you need to keep a secret, because so many people are saying, well, they told me, you know, I don't want to go and tell on them. They said they felt this way. It's not your responsibility to keep their secret if they're feeling something. It's your responsibility to save their life.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. And even if you don't feel like you have the capabilities to do it, you need to do it. You need to get the youth help. My dad actually pulled me out of my icky situation, and I had an escape plan because I was smart enough to make one. And he actually saw what was going on, God bless him. And so, as I said, you, as Chella and I both said, you may have to go to the next person if the first person doesn't believe you, like my mom did not. And so I went to the next closest person, which was my dad, and then I would have gone to my friend if I was thinking about this. If my dad hadn't pulled me out of the situation, I would have gone to my friend who actually got me the job and said, look, this is what's going on. Help me out here.
Don't stop at the first person that doesn't help you. Keep going. Someone will help you.
You need to push down those walls. You need to march like a proud woman, and we need to support the youth. And I'll just leave it at that. You, Shella, you can get me on a soapbox, but that may have to be later. And Shella, when we get this podcast started, I'm going to invite you back on this podcast, Ask Wynn, to talk about doing more youth empowerment with the podcast, because now I'm holding you to it.
It's a date.
Now I'm holding you to it that we have to get Vinny Girl on the airwaves, because you spent so much time with this youth. You now need to take it to the bigger levels here and reach across the borders and get out of California and maybe bring some of the youth on, because that always helps with empowerment if they can get behind mic and share their stories. Maybe you and I can interview some of your youth. And I just am full of beans and vinegar right now. Not because I'm on spring break, just because empowering the youth is one of my favorite subjects secretly, and I don't get to do it enough. So, empowering the youth, able-bodied or disabled, you guys think I like to empower the disabled? Well, I like to empower the youth because I got empowered as a child with a disability, so now I'm trying to give back, and I appreciate Stella's time this morning. I know it's a Saturday morning, and I know that she gets to go hang out with her daughter now. And please support Stella and the work she's doing. Obviously, Stella's got me in the corner now, but I need you guys to help us out and spread Stella's story and possibly donate to her. Shella, can people donate to you via PayPal too?
Yes, they can.
Okay. Yeah. So if you guys go to their website, Vinny Girls Inc., or just Google Vinny Girls Inc., you can donate to them. I actually want to see you guys donate to them. I know it's tax season, you guys, but any little bit helps, and
everything
so
helps.
I want
we do everything with donations.
I want to at least, here's the deal, you guys, and I will commit to this too. I will, if you guys will get behind me, I want, and Shola doesn't know this yet, but let's make $1,000. Let's all together donate $1,000 to the Vinnie Girl campaign, and let's help Shola out, and let's help the youth out, because what you guys are doing, and I'll chip in this week. Don't worry about that. I make this commitment on my own, and you guys don't think I'll chip in. I'll chip in this week.